Welcome to Empath, conversations and intentions around meaningful marketing for soulful, sensitive, empathic entrepreneurs. Join me, the feral writer, to talk with truth and texture about creativity from the heart space, marketing with meaning and emotion. This is Empath. Hi guys, and welcome back to Empath. Today I'm talking about money mindset. There's a lot of stuff out there about money mindset, and so it's not something I've really addressed on the podcast. It is something I end up working a lot with my clients on, with my priestess clients, because I feel like it's something so many people struggle with. And as more and more people have approached me to talk about the topic with them, I decided I would talk about it on the podcast, and I'd just talk about it authentically in my own way, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff out there about it, you know, about the way we talk to ourselves with money, the way we treat money, the way we worry about making money. But a lot of it's always from the perspective of lack. And actually, I find some of the biggest issues with money mindset are people who already actually have money, but they sort of cling. There's this fear of losing the money that they've got. So I think money mindset works in both ways. It's not about wealth, actually. It's not about not having money or having money. It's about how comfortable you are with money overall. Can you sit with money? So, you know, some people are sort of worried about not ever having enough and sort of scraping by. And I call this the bailiff mindset. This sort of almost intrinsic fear that the bailiffs could knock on the door at any moment. So they are constantly trying to get money, chase the money. And there's always this feeling like of lack, of not enough, of how do I get more, of what if I lose it? What if they come and take it from me, that bailiff at the door? What if they come and take it from me? But also there's the other side of it where you can have money, but be worried about spending, be worried about what if I, you know, run out? What if I don't get more? What if I can't replenish? And I call this the Bill and Ted complex. You know, we're not worthy. And that's what it feels like. Like if you've got money and you're worried about spending it and you're worried about losing it or worried about, you know, often this happens to people who have inherited money or come from a less financially stable background, but they end up doing really well in business and making money. There's that fear that that money doesn't really belong to them. You know, it's officially called paradise syndrome, I believe, where you know, it happens to people that win the lottery. They almost try and get rid of the money as quickly as they can, shoveling it out of the boat, you know, trying to get rid of it so that it sort of, they don't feel the weight of suddenly being wealthy. And that's it. You've got these two sides of the coin. One side where you're trying to spend because you don't feel comfortable with the wealth. And the other side where you're trying to not spend, you know, keep it tight in because you're worried that if you spend, it'll unravel really quickly and you'll lose everything. So there really is sort of a spectrum when it comes to money and financial issues and how we feel. It's not as simple as I've got money versus I haven't got money, or I come from a poor background versus I come from a rich background. You know, there really are so many, like money is so complex. And I find that a lot of my customers are not looking at their relationship with money. They look at money as an outer entity. They look at it as something that happens to them or, you know, comes into their life or takes from their life or whatever. But they're not really looking at their relationship with money, their relationship historically, their relationship emotionally, but their relationship holistically. When was the last time you sat and asked yourself about how you feel about money truly? You know? Imagine you're walking down a street and you find a £50 note on the floor. I mean, who's got cash anymore, right? But imagine you find a £50 note on the floor. How do you feel? Like instantly in this moment when you picture that, how do you feel? Are you excited? Do you quickly pocket it? Do you feel guilty? You think, look around, hand it in. Do you feel disbelief? Do you feel like you should give it to somebody else, somebody that needs it? Like, question these feelings. There's no right and wrong. The reason I'm asking this is because it's about that feeling it evokes in us. To find out how you really feel about money, the best thing you can do is put yourself in a scenario like that, where you ask yourself, honestly, what do I do? In this moment, what do I do? You know, it's our actions that show us what we do. rather than sort of theory behind it. You know, some of the poorest people I know would give you their last pound, and some of the richest people I know would never even offer me a coffee if they met me for coffee, because it's about our mindset, because it's about our mentality. And interestingly, I read a long time ago, but it stayed with me, that it's something like a very high percentage, it was over 80%, I think, a very high percentage of people would rather, so if you were given the option where you could have £5,000 given to you and your friends and family could have £3,000 given to them, or you could have £10,000 given to you, but your friends and family would have £20,000 given to them, which would you choose? Now, obviously, the logical, smart answer here would be go for the most you can get. Take the 10 and have your friends have 20. But surprisingly, the answer was the other one. People would rather have less money, but more than their friends and family, or more than their competitors, than more money, but everyone gets more. Take a moment to let that sink in. People would rather have less money to have five grand's brilliant, and have everyone else have three, than to have £10,000, double the amount, £10,000, but have their friends have 20. Because we often compare our money situations and judge our value according to the person next door. You know, whether that's in business, whether that's in life. How many times have you had something or bought something and had somebody say something? And it might be like, well, it must be nice for you, or it's all right for some, or wish I could afford a nice new car, or whatever. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people who've passed comment on what I drive. I'm talking about people on the school run that don't know me, people that would just come up to me and say, oh, business is doing well, or, oh, all right for you, or, oh, must have cost a pretty penny, or nice car. People don't know. They project onto you based on their own insecurities, their own issues, what they think. If they stopped and asked me, they would find out that the car that I own, I bought it because it's the safest car on the market, and I was in a car accident. That was terrifying. And I went out and said, I'm going to buy the safest car on the market. For all those people know, I could have bought that car on credit. Just because somebody has a fancy car doesn't mean they bought it with money, doesn't mean they bought it with their own money. Just because somebody has a fancy house, you don't know what's going on for somebody else. But we judge people based on our own insecurities and our own wealth issues. So I want to start by saying that a lot of the way we feel about money and a lot of the way that we perceive money is based on who we are. My grandmother, she was a really interesting character. She had money and was quite wealthy, in my mind anyway. I think she was quite wealthy. But her attitude towards money was very much the Bill and Ted complex. So she wouldn't spend on anything that wasn't cheap, in inverted commas. She wanted to look high-end, but pay pennies, basically. So she'd buy all her clothes in the sale. And then, I kid you not, you know when you get clearance in the sales, she would literally hold on to it, wait till it went into clearance, give it to her husband to take back to get a refund at the till, and she would stand there and wait until the sales assistant put the lower price sticker on it and put it back on the rail. She'd be there waiting to grab it from the rails and get it at £5 cheaper. And she would honestly do that. And we went there as children, and she would give us, as a treat, a little Mars bar. And we were so excited to have these Mars bars. And I still remember now thinking, what is wrong with this Mars bar? It's gone all white and horrible. And it's because they were gone off. So she would buy out-of-date chocolate, and I mean substantially out-of-date, and then give it to us. It would be like on the bargain rail for like the day it went out of date or whatever, and she would just keep it. It takes a lot for a chocolate bar to go out of date, but she would buy things as cheap as she could. So that she could save money, so that she could hoard the money. You know, and let's be honest, what do you think happened to my grandmother? At the end of the day, when she passed away, she didn't take any of those things with her. She didn't take any of that money with her. She didn't really do anything particularly of value with that money, guys. You know, and I wish that she had truly spent it doing something that she loved, rather than keeping it for a day that never came. Because it was a means of security. You know, and so many people do that. They treat their money as security. And don't get me wrong, money is security. But money is energy. Money needs to be sort of treated as energy. You need to be able to give it, to receive it, to you know, to give it confidently and know that it will come back to you, but also to accept it freely without guilt, without shame, without stigma. There's so much of that. There's so many stories we have around money. It's quite a complex topic. So, first of all, I want you to think about money as energy, to trust in the frequency of money, how it goes out, how it comes in. Think of it like the sea, the ocean. The waves come in, the waves go out. The waves come in, the waves go out. You're not suddenly going to be rich. Well, I mean, you might be, you know. You know, we've got Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. Anything could happen. If you're investing in cryptocurrency, it could happen. But, you know, you're not suddenly going to be rich and you're not suddenly going to be poor. You know, things happen over a gradient. They happen over a spectrum. So it's getting comfortable with trusting and allowing and releasing the grip on money. I've put together five little things I wanted to share about how you can work with money, how you can get comfortable with money, how you can change your money mindset, and how you can change the narrative around it and heal your financial insecurities. So, number one is to own your money legacy. What have you been taught about money? You know, really think about your history with money, how you felt about it as a child, how you felt about it as a teen. Were your parents rich or poor? What have we learned from our parents? What have we learned from our grandparents? What have we learned from our ancestry? When you look back at how they treated money, how they spent money, how has it made you feel about it? And how has it affected the way you act today? You know, we're really thinking about healing your money mindset, healing your ancestry, and how we were affected by money back then. If you come from a poor ancestry, perhaps you feel afraid of money. Perhaps you're worried that you won't ever earn enough, or you've got to prove yourself in some way. If you come from a wealthier background, perhaps you feel like you've got to maintain that wealth, that you've got to hold on to it because your family has a name to uphold and you don't want to be seen squandering it. You know, just think about what part your family and your ancestry has to play in it, and your childhood and how you feel about money and how you felt about money then. If you got given pocket money, what would you do with it? You know, would you have rushed out and spent it all on the first thing you could buy? I mean, I've got a daughter that would do that. She would spend her pocket money before she had it. Or would you hold on to it and guard it and then think carefully about your options and then maybe spend 10% of it? You know, I've got a daughter that would do that. Think about where that's coming from and start being aware of your motivations around money. Number two is to realize that boom or bust are both unhealthy options. You don't want to be spending, 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 gambling, gambling, going out there, buying all the rounds in the pub, being like the wealthy one. You don't want that. But you also don't want to be, you know, holding back, afraid, with no money, not being able to afford a tin of baked beans. You know, we talk about money and there's two shades of extremes, but what about all the shades in between? What about comfort and security? Why is money always about the drama? It's always about richness or poorness, not enoughness or abundance. Where is the middle ground where we're comfortable? You know, just like relationships, when people talk about relationships, it's all drama and fiery and sexy, or it's boring and staid and, you know, loveless. But the truth is, real relationships, authentic relationships, they're not like either of those options. You know, they're in the middle. They're comfortable and relaxed and authentic and grounded and stable and kind of nondescript in some ways, because it's not about the drama that we're perceived on the storylines, you know, of EastEnders and things like that. And it's exactly the same with money. You can have a secure, middle of the road, meaningful, grounded, reciprocal relationship with money. It doesn't have to be about being a millionaire or being in poverty. And yet that's how it's often painted in business. Number three is to know the link, to know the link between money and self-worth. You know, at the end of the day, there is a massive link between these two. In astrology, they come under the same house, because how we feel about ourselves affects the money that we're comfortable getting. Look at Paradise Syndrome. If you're not comfortable, Bill and Ted Syndrome, Bill and Ted Complex, if you're not comfortable, if you don't feel worthy, you will push the money away, even if you don't know you're doing it. You will do everything to get rid of that money. You'll spend it as fast as you can and burn through it because you'll be desperate to get away from the weight of suddenly being wealthy when you don't feel comfortable being wealthy. And maybe you don't feel comfortable being wealthy because you've got a negative idea of what wealth looks like, because wealthy people are bad people. They're fat cats. They're selfish. They are, you know, greedy. Maybe you think things like this, or maybe because you don't feel good enough. You don't feel good enough to have the money because you're not worthy and you don't deserve it. And the truth is you do. And you will never, I truly believe you will never in business earn the amount of money you deserve until you know what you deserve, until you can stand solid in your own self-worth, because it always starts there. There's no point in even talking about pricing strategies with my customers until they can stand in their own self-worth and know who they are and why they deserve the money in the first place. Number four is to love yourself without money. To truly love yourself without money. You know, not to use money as a success tool or a benchmark. You know, when I reach 50,000, I'll be happy or whatever. It's to know that you don't need the money to be happy. You know, people always say money doesn't make you happy, but it helps. And that's probably true. But you know what? You can honestly be happy on very little money. In my membership, Empress, whenever we talk about each month the things that made us happy, no one ever says making £50,000 made me happy. Nobody ever says buying a new diamond ring for myself made me happy. The things they're saying are things like going in the sea, being with my children, walking my dogs, sitting in the sun, taking a day off, writing some poetry, reading a book before bed. These are the things people are saying. You can be truly happy without having to have loads of money. You know, at the end of the day, there are celebrities out there with cute little dogs, and I've got cute little dogs, and they're going to walk their dogs, and they're going to curl up with their dogs on the sofa just like I am. And the money between us doesn't make the difference, because they're still going to get that absolute moment of magic that comes with curling up with your best canine friend. You know, it's not always about money. So it's loving yourself without the money and knowing that the money will follow. And then last of all, is to set your intention. What do you want from money? And that's it. When did you ask yourself that last? What do you want from money? It's reciprocal. It's relational. I want you to work with money on your future. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is the best thing you can do, is to start a conversation with money and to see it as your ally, to see it as your friend, to see it as your confidant, to see it as your companion. Money isn't there to screw you over. When you get a bill for your heating, it's so easy to say, you know, I can't believe I'm getting charged £200 for my heating bill, rather than saying, thank you for the heat. I've been warm and I've been comfortable and I'm going to give this money with gratitude. Know that what you give will come back to you. What stops money coming back to you is the fear. It's the fear that it's not going to come back to you. Your emotions and the frequency that you're vibrating in affect everything. So when you confidently give without expecting it to come back, the universe will always deliver. It will come back like the beach, like the waves coming in, tides out, tides in, tides out. The tide can't always be in, but the tide can't always be out. So you need to work out how you feel and work with money on where you want to be. We always finish every episode with an invitation to set an intention. And today I'm asking you to set an intention around money. What do you want money to do for you? And what do you think money wants from you? I highly suggest here, if you get time, you write a letter to money. Write a letter to money, dear money, and see what comes out and just trust the experience. And you know what? If you fancy it, you could even write a reply. I think you'll be surprised what comes back. Thank you so much for listening to the episode, guys. I've had so many of you request this topic because money is a root issue. A lot of people really struggle with it. But in my opinion, money is very often not the issue at all. Beneath that is always that second house issue of self-worth. Do I feel like I deserve the money? Do I feel worth the money? What's my legacy behind it? What's my ancestry behind it? And it's changing that. It's sitting with it. It's owning your story. And it's saying, I choose a new chapter and this is how it's going to look. And then inviting money to be A collaborator, a co-conspirator, somebody on your side, a partner, somebody that works with you to achieve what you want. And last of all, don't make it about the money. Never make it about the money. Make it about the meaning. Because if you're saying, I'm going to make £100,000, I'm going to make £50,000, and I know somebody that's saying that this week, that I follow on Instagram, and they're saying, I'm going to make £50,000, I'm going to make £100,000, I'm going to own a best house, I'm going to own yachts, you're going to see me be at the top with all this money. That's ego. Don't make it about the money, make it about the meaning. Because only then will you truly be able to move forward and get what you want. Think about the life that you want. Your money will support that life. Money is not the end goal. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I've really enjoyed recording this episode. As always, you can find me on Instagram at TheFeralWriter if you want to talk to me and give me your money stories. I love to hear them. And remember, whatever you do, all you've got to be is true. Thank you for listening to Empath, the podcast for meaningful marketing for soulful creatives. If you want more from me, head to my website, jesscollins.co.uk, and check out my membership community, Empress, where you will find a community of heart-centered creatives, the Empress Practice, my signature 7 chapters of soulful marketing, and weekly live sessions, from soul goal setting to journaling and personal access to me. The doors are currently open. Be sure to message me on Instagram at TheFeralWriter to let me know how you found this episode. Take care, and I'll be back next week.